friends to Inspirational Truths, a time for exploring truths from God's timeless book. My name is Todd Price. I believe that song and the message for today will be a blessing to each of you. So with that in mind, it is my privilege to introduce to you the founder of Inspirational Truths, my father, Tom Price.
Well, greetings, friends. My name is Tom Price, and I'm always happy to say it's Inspirational Truth time once again. And Debbie and I greet you in the blessed name of Christ, our Savior. Hey, listen, if he isn't yours, he can be. If he isn't yours, he wants to be. If he isn't yours, in fact, he came to be. The Word of God tells us, Luke 19 and 10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Now look, friend, this message is going to be a salvation message. Oh, it'll be a blessing to people who know Christ as their Savior, to those whose sins are under the blood, to those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You can't go in the Word of God and pick a passage of Scripture as the Spirit of God leads you to it to preach that won't bless a believer in Christ. Listen, they get excited when they know the preacher's preaching salvation, so some lost soul could be saved like they were. They remember their day of salvation. They remember their conviction. They remember their conversion. They remember how God delivered them from the kingdom of darkness, placed them in the kingdom of light. So they're happy when salvation is preached. So, sir and ma'am, look, I'm going to tell you, it's a divine appointment that we have today. You and I together here on this little radio program, this radio station, don't care where you're at, whether you're home, traveling on the road, where you're at work, maybe you're in jail, maybe you're in the hospital. I don't know where you're at, but I'll tell you what, God has brought us together. God has brought us together for two reasons at least. Number one, I've got a message. Number two, you need to hear. It's a simple message. It's a gracious message. Look, friend, I'm not the greatest preacher in the world, but I'll tell you what, it's a great message because it comes from the Word of God. Now, I've opened my Bible to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I'll read one, maybe two verses of Scripture to you, and then I'll share the message that I believe the Lord, the best I can discern, has laid upon my heart. But before we do that, as always, Debbie's got a song she's going to do, and the title of it is Saved by His Grace. Can I tell you, sir, ma'am, that is the only way to be saved, is to be saved by the grace of God. I know you enjoy this song. As soon as Debbie's done, I'll be back with the message out of 2 Corinthians chapter 6.
I was standing alone in the darkness. Jesus said, step in the light. He said that I could be justified if by faith I believe. My heart was so heavy, then the burden was lifted. Now free from guilt and shame. That's when I found mercy and grace. I found it in Jesus' name. Grace, grace, that's what I was after. I found grace when I met the Master. He took me in, gave me peace within. Now I'm saved by grace. No longer do I stand in the darkness. No longer a sinner am I. Freely He gave, so I could be saved. Peace and joy now abide. For all have sinned and come short of His glory. By His blood we're redeemed. I realize I've been set free by faith through His grace. Grace, grace, that's what I was after. I found grace when I met the Master. He took me in, gave me peace within. Come short of His glory, by His blood we're redeemed.
Debbie, can I tell you, friend, that's what the Word of God teaches. If you get saved, anybody that ever gets saved, whether it's today, yesterday, tomorrow, whether it's in the New Testament era, the Old Testament era, can I tell you, sir, ma'am, it's always been by grace. If you look in the garden, when Adam and Eve sinned, it was God that came to Adam and Eve with coats of skin. That meant a sinless, that means an innocent animal had to die, had to shed its blood, and the life of the flesh is in the blood, so that Adam and Eve could be have their nakedness covered. Look, when God began to say, hey, the days of man are 120 years, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Even in the days of the law, friend, listen, mankind has been saved by grace, and you can be saved by grace today. Today, you can be saved by grace. I cannot help but believe that there are some folks that are listening today that are in a quandary. They're in a quandary about eternity, in a quandary about their soul, quandary about judgment, a quandary about whether they'll go to heaven or hell. Look, friend, I'm here to tell you, like I said in my introductory remarks, God has brought us together today with this little message this little country preacher has on his heart. And I want to share it with you now in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I'm going ahead and read verses 1 and 2. The Bible said, Paul did, we then as workers together with him. He's talking about Christ. He's talking about the Son of God the Father. Beseech you that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. For, he saith, meaning God, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. I want to talk to you for just a little while today on this thought. It's not too late yet. It's not too late yet. And last week I talked to you about when it becomes too late out of Luke chapter 16. But today I want to talk to you again about it's not too late yet. Now I put that word yet on there because, look, sir, ma'am, you stand a chance of going by the last time God gives you the opportunity to be saved, to be delivered, to be changed, to be made a new creature in Christ. If you continue to put off your salvation, if you continue to go over the roadblocks God has put on your way to hell, if you continue to go against good common sense and to kick against the pricks of conviction that the Holy Spirit of God has been bringing upon your heart, your soul, your spirit and mind. If you go over the prayers of your parents, of your children, of your neighbor, of your good friend, of the pastor of the local church, whoever, friend, listen, you could go over your opportunity. Now look, I'm going to tell you, I hate to tell you this, but I need to. You don't have to be saved. You can live lost, you can die lost, and you can spend an eternity lost. But oh, sinner friend, that's not why God sent me here today. That's not why God put us together. He told me, friend, according to this word, to tell you that today is your day of salvation, that now is your accepted time. And though it's not too late yet, it could be tomorrow. Well, you say, preacher, I've been thinking about it. Why don't you quit thinking about it? Start doing something about it. Why don't you quit thinking about getting saved and getting saved? Now listen, I'm telling you the truth. Jesus said, no man can come unto me except the Father which sent me draw him. But Jesus also said, and I, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Jesus also said, now when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, hey, you know what He'll do? He'll convict the world of sin, of righteousness and of judgment to come. I'm here to tell you, friend, God has done His part. He's waiting on you to do your part, and seeing that He has been lifted up, He's drawing men, women, boys and girls everywhere to His throne of grace, to His offer of salvation, out of that place of deliverance from sin, that place to where you could be made a new creature in Christ Jesus. Oh, look, friend, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Oh, you know what, Paul? It seems as if he is saying, look, wait just a minute as I think about this thing, giving it a whole day, it's too broad. Paul said, look, let's narrow it down. Today could be your day of salvation. If you get saved at 5 o'clock in the morning, 5 o'clock in the evening, it doesn't matter. It's on that day that you've been saved. But Paul said, wait just a minute. Now's the time. God's speaking to you. The Word of God is being declared to you. The Spirit of God is working in you and on you. You know you need to be saved. You know you're lost, headed for a Christless eternity, a devil's hell, and you know you need to be saved. Sir, ma'am, here's what I'd do if I were you. I'd stop what I was doing. I'd bow my head. I'd humble my heart. I'd go to God and say, God, I'm a sinner. I deserve to be lost. I deserve to go to that hell that I'm dreading. But oh, in light of what Christ did in dying for me, in dying as me, would you save me? Would you fix my broken heart? Would you heal my broken spirit? God, I'm sorry of sin, and I pray that you would save me for Christ's sake. Oh, look, if you'd pray a prayer, something similar to that, you know what would happen? God would save you. The Bible said, whosoever is called upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But now wait, before we get to this message, got to back up. Got to back up. You see what he mean, preacher? He said in verse 1, we then, as workers together with him, beseech you that you receive not the grace of God in vain. Paul was telling us something that came before this in chapter 5. And we need to look at some things really, really quickly, if you allow me to do that. Hey, you know what? Paul is telling us in verses 10 and 11 in chapter 5 of the book of 2 Corinthians. Before he says now is the day of salvation, he tells us something that's very important. Now I know he's talking to the believer. I know he's telling them about going to the bema seat of God. Have a less face it. The Word of God says that it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Although the church is going to the bema seat, where they're going to find what rewards they have for eternity, or find how their life is going to be burned up, and they'll be empty when they enter eternity, although they're going. Paul warns about the judgment to come, and listen to what he said in verse 11. He said, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Hey, listen, brother. Hey, listen, sir, ma'am. Let me tell you what. You know what this ought to do? This ought to affect us. It ought to stir us. It ought to put the fear of God in us. It ought to put the dread of God in us. Hey, listen, friend. You might lie like a dog down here. You may deceive everybody, even your own self. But let me tell you, sir, ma'am, when you get before Almighty God, when you stand before Him, if you die lost as a sinner, the great white throne judgment, Revelation 20:11 and following, I'll tell you what, you'll not deceive Him. You'll get no more than you deserve, but then again, you'll get no less than you deserve. Oh, do you know what He'll tell the angel after that He has judged you a righteous judgment? He'll tell an angel to bind you hand and feet and cast you into the lake of fire. Oh, listen, friend, where the devil, the Antichrist and the beast are found. Oh, you don't have to go there, sinner friend. You can be saved today. You can be delivered if you make now the time of your salvation. If you make today the day of your salvation, Paul, listen, gave us something that ought to motivate us. It ought to stir us. Look at what he said now. He had for motivation, verse 14. 16, Paul said, for the love of Christ constraineth me. He's not saying that it held him back, but he's saying it pushed me forward, gets me out of bed in the morning, gets me out from under a pile of rocks that they laid on me at Lystra. It gets me, friend, out of the prison, back on the street preaching, back in the synagogues, going from house to house, standing on Mars Hill or in the marketplace of Ephesus. It doesn't matter. Paul said, the love of God constrained me. You see what he mean, preacher? Well, look, that motivated Paul. But can I tell you this, friend? It was motivation him to witness to people, to warn people, and to win people to Christ. But it's also to inform us. Paul said, look, now he goes on to say, he said that we thus judge that if or since one died for us, then we're all dead. I'm here to tell you, sinner friend, you're dead in trespasses and sin. That's what Paul teaches us in the book of Ephesians chapter 2 verses 1 and 2. You're dead in trespasses and sin. Oh, I know you're breathing. I know your heart's beating. I know you're walking and moving and all of this. You've got life, but you're dead spiritually. And oh, you need to be quickened. You need to be born from above. Hey, Paul said, look, I want to tell you what my motivation is. It's the love of Christ. And I want to tell you, friend, that I'm here to inform you that you're dead in sin. And according to chapter 4 of this same book, verses 3 and 4, I'm the God of this world has blinded your mind, lest the glorious light of the gospel of Jesus Christ should shine into you, unto you. Hey, sinner friend, listen. You may think you're all right. The devil may be telling you even now, this moment, you're all right. But if you don't know Christ as your Savior, if your name's not recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life, if your sins are not washed away by the blood of the Lamb, you're far from being all right. Have a look now. Let me show you something. How that ought to humble us. Look at verse 19, if I can. He said, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. And He hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Isn't that humbling to know how far would go for us to learn the lengths that God would go to save a wretch like me? Oh, friend, how wonderful that it is. Paul goes on to tell us in verse 20 that God, listen, hath made Him, meaning Jesus, had to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. I'm telling you, friend, we ought to be humbled at the very lengths that God went to send His Son into this world through a virgin's womb so that He could live among us, die as us, be buried in a borrowed tomb, and raise the third and appointed morning for our justification. Isn't that amazing? Maybe you didn't know that, sir. Maybe you didn't know that, ma'am. Maybe you've never heard how the message of the gospel. But I'm here to tell you, friend, listen, it ought to humble us to know that God allowed His sinless, perfect, one-of-a-kind, only-begotten, virgin-born Son, who was God in the beginning, who humbled Himself to become a man so that He could die as a man substitute, not only for man, but as man. Oh, that ought to humble us all and bring us to a place of repentance, bring us to a throne where Christ, by the shedding of His blood, by the application of His blood, has transformed it into a place of mercy and grace. If I were you, lost and undone, I'd make today, I'd make now the moment of my salvation. I'd bow my head, humble my heart, and say, God, save me, a sinner. But look at the message for us in verse 20. Paul said, now we as ambassadors of Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead. Be ye reconciled to God. Let Him turn you around, sinner friend. God's listened. God never moved when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden. He stayed what He always was. He was still looking at man when Adam and Eve was running away, hiding among the trees, sowing the fig leaves together. Oh, God didn't turn His back on man, but man turned his back on God, and enmity began to be created instantly in his heart after they disobeyed God. And God will turn you from that. He'll do it today. He'll do it immediately. You can be turned back to God. You can be reconciled to God. You can have a living and right relationship with God Almighty, who is holy. You can know Him as a one who makes you just. You can know Him in the free pardon and forgiveness of sin if you'll turn to Him today. But look, that "we then," that brings us back into chapter 6 of the book of 2 Corinthians. Now listen, Paul warns us. He said, "We then as workers together beseech you that you receive not the grace of God alone," the grace of God in vain. You say, "Preacher, how can I hear about the grace of God and treat it in a vain manner?" Here's how you can do it. If you hear it and don't heed it. If you hear it and just take it as a historical matter. If you just say, "Hey, I believe there was a Jesus. I believe He was God's Son. I believe He was born of a virgin, lived among us, died for us, ascended back to the right hand of the Father." Oh, I know it's a story. I know it's a true story, but I'm not going to let it do anything to me. That's how you could hear it in vain. That's how, friend, you can receive the grace of God in vain. But look at what Paul said, and I've got to close. Time's running out. Time is running out for me. But oh, wait just a minute, sinner friend. It's running out for you. Every time the clock ticks, every time a grain of sand goes through my hourglass that I use when I do a radio program. Oh, I don't use it as a time element. I've got a digital clock in this recording machine that I have. But I like watching the grains of sand fall from the top to the bottom. And listen, friend, that's the way our life is. That's the way our days are. This is the only day we have. This is the only moment we have, sir, ma'am. And you know what I'd do if I were you? Knowing what I know. Knowing how frail and flimsy life is. Knowing that our life is but a vapor. It's like a smoke in a bottle. It's like a post, a running quickly with a message. Many other things that the Word of God speaks about our life as far as its brevity. Matter of fact, the Word of God tells us and commands us not to count our years as we do, but to number our days so that we might know how frail we are. You know, there was a man by the name of D.L. Moody that was preaching before the great fire of Chicago. And on the night that he preached a message about this. What will you do with Jesus, which is called the Christ? He called upon his congregation that was listening to go home and to think about it. Think about the question. Mull over the question in their heart and in their mind and come back the next Lord's Day and make a decision for Him. Well, the story goes on that Moody went home that night. And you know what happened? That's when the great fire of Chicago happened. I mean, to tell you, listen, it just brought havoc. I don't know how many people were killed. I didn't look that up. But you know what Moody did when he got back in the pulpit a couple of weeks after that? He said, "I want you to know I learned one lesson. I learned that night, which I shall never forget." And I'm quoting now, and this is it. when I preach Christ, to press upon the people then and there and try to bring them a decision on the spot. That's what I want to do to you, sir, ma'am. You need to be saved. You can be saved right now. You don't know that you have tomorrow. Yesterday's already gone. How many times have you said, well, I'll wait till the next time. I'll wait till the next preacher preaches. I'll wait till the next song is sung. Listen, let me tell you, now is the accepted time. Now's all the time you got. Bow your head, would you? Humble your heart. Say, God, I know I'm a sinner. I know I deserve hell, but I've heard of a man by the name of Jesus who died at Calvary in my stead, in my place. And right now, the best I know how, I repent of my sin. I receive Him as my Savior, and I want to live for You. Thank You for loving me. Thank You for saving me, and I'm trusting that You'll keep me until the day I can see You. Well, that's not the right song. That's not the right song, but I'm going to get it here in just a minute. But I'm here to tell you, friend, listen, God will do what you know you need Him to do if you'll come to Him now. Call on Him, would you? Ask Him to save you. And if you'll trust in Him, He will until the next time.
You are my Savior.
Thank you, friend, for listening to Inspirational Truths today. It is our prayer that the message and the song has been a blessing to your soul and has in some way ministered to your heart. We hope that you will make plans to join us every week at the same time. If you have a special request that you would like us to know about, please feel free to write us and we will be sure to pray about your request, whatever it is. If you'd like to contact us, our address is Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. That's Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. Or on the web at TOMANDDEBBIE at inspirationaltruths.com. That's Tom and Debbie at inspirationaltruths.com. Remember, friend, this is a work of faith. We need both your prayers and your listening ear. Now, until the next time, it is our prayer that God will richly bless both you and yours.